Everybody. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, you can do better than that. Praise the Lord, everybody. In your home, let's put our hands together and praise the Lord. Come on, let's prepare our hearts. Even now, Father, as we open up the Word of God, we come to receive your Word in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. A sermon series is called Walking in the Know. Our message today is Jesus, our advocate. So if you have your Bibles, we're looking at 1 John chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 and 2. I'll be reading from the NIV translation, and I'll add some other translations as I share the word. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you, so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice. Some translations say propitiation. He is the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sin of the whole world. Apostle John writes this letter to help us live in the know. When we live in the know, we live with confidence and assurance. So let's go to work. Let's begin with some key words that Apostle John uses. You want to write this down as students of the word. So get your pen and paper, your tablet, and let's go to work. Number one, sin. So sin means to missing the mark. The Bible says all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. You find that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. So that's number one is sin. Number two is advocate. Advocate is defined as a defender, a lawyer, a helper. We see the word advocate used in John chapter 14, verse 16, the name given to the Holy Spirit. And in our text today, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, to Jesus, by John, is talking about Jesus. And number three, propitiation, is defined as substitutionary sacrifice that absorbs the wrath of God for us and turns it into favor. We have three areas we want to reflect on this morning from our text. Number one, for the students of the word, number one, we should never be acceptable. Sin should never be acceptable. Let me say it again. Sin should never be acceptable. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says, I write to you so that you may not sin. Write this down. You have a choice. Apostle John in the text was correcting some people's view of sin. There were people who had a low view of sin. Sin matters to our lives. Sin matters to God. You ought to write that down on the tablets of your heart. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. I'll go deeper. Your payday will be permanently separated from God. Your payday, just like you wait for your check, but your payday from sin, you will be permanently separated from God. As you live day to day, how are you? This is the question for you. How are you separated from God? I want you to think about that. How are you separated from God? What is separating you from God? I want you to think about that. What is separating you from God? Sin will destroy your life. Sin is disobedience to God. as I examine my own life, I can see how sin affected my life. I bought into this lie about it's all about me. This lie that is just to be self-centered is all about me, not being Christ-centered. Sin, write this down, sin will take you to a lonely place. Sin will take you to a lonely place. He'll take you, sin will take you to a place of shame. I've been there, a place of lust, a place of pride, unhealthy relationships. Sin will destroy you from your divine purpose for living, for your destiny, your divine destiny in Christ. Sin will leave you empty inside, where you chase after false things. Have you ever been there? False teachings and trickery. A get-over spirit. I've been there. It's just a get-over spirit. A quick fix that never satisfies. Worshiping false gods. Worshiping people. Following the crowd that's not going nowhere. Here it is. That leads to a dead-end street. It leads to a dead-end street. I lived it. I've been on that street. I've been on that dead-end street. And the Word of God helps us to overcome sin. There it is, number two. It's the Scriptures, the Word of God, that helps us overcome sin. Apostle John says in verse 1, these things I write, that's a key word, these things I write to you so you may not sin. The Holy Scriptures, the Bible, is the written word of God. And Jesus is the Word. And the Bible says that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one, the only Son who came from the Father. Jesus, full of grace and truth. And I'm here to tell you that the written word, this Bible, is full of grace and truth. That's why Satan wants to keep you out of the Word of God. That's why when you pick up the Bible, you don't spend time there, because the devil has put a trick on your mind that every time you look at it, you get tired. But the devil is a liar. Somebody say amen. Amen. It helps us overcome sin. The written word is full of grace and truth. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, in the New King James Version, this is what it says: for the word of God, the Bible, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, I want you to hear this, and a discerner of the thoughts, and a discerner of the thoughts, and intents of the heart. His word is speaking to you right now. Sin is coming after your thoughts. Sin is coming after your thoughts. Sin is coming after your mind. Sin sin wants to rest in your heart. Sin wants to rest in your heart. It wants to take residence in your heart. I feel like preaching right now. The word is speaking to you even now. It's speaking to your soul and spirit. It's speaking to your thoughts. It's speaking to your heart that you can overcome sin by the word of God. Let me say it again. You can overcome sin by the word of God. I said earlier that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That the gift is Jesus. And through the written word that is living and powerful, it gives us, here it is, it gives us rest for our souls. The word will give you rest for your soul. Anybody looking for rest? There are some weary souls out there. You're in your home. You're weary. There's some weary souls out there. And we thank God for the written word where you can find rest for your soul. In the written word, we hear Jesus says, come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Here it is, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You looking for rest? You got to go to Jesus. You got to go to the Word of God. Come on, people. Put your hands together. God is moving in this place. You're listening right now, and you've been carrying a heavy load. You've been carrying a heavy weight. It's too much. It's all over you, not just on your back, but there's too much heaviness on you. Today, give it to Jesus. It's too much for you to carry. Preach, Kenny. I'm doing the best I can. You've been searching for an answer, and his name is Jesus. You looking for the answer? His name is Jesus. Songwriter said, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low, but I couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater than you, God. And God sent his son who died for our sins that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Here it is. Here's the word of God. And he left us a roadmap. He left us a roadmap through the written word that will guide us to where our names can be written in the Lamb's book of life. Somebody say that's good news. God is still writing. Your name could be written in the Lamb's book of life. It's right there in Revelation 21 verse 27. This is good news. The written word, the Bible, is good news. The Bible is good news. You watch the TV, you watch the news, you don't hear nothing good. But if you turn to the word of God, the Bible is good news. That this leads me to my third point, number three. Jesus helps us when we sin. Jesus helps us when we sin. This is our text. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father. And he himself is our propitiation for our sins, and not of ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus, our advocate, who sits on the right hand of the Father, who died for our sins, died for our offenses, and rose again for our justification, and there he makes intercession for us, he is the righteousness. He who suffered, talking about Jesus, he who suffered, the just Jesus, the just for the unjust, that he might, hear this, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And the Apostle John says, he is the propitiation, which means to appease, it means to gain favor, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, being reconciled back to God in right relationship. See, we're not in right relationship with God. So this atoning sacrifice brings us in right relationship with God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm from the old school. They used to sing a song, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed his child, and forever I am. Jesus died on the cross to redeem the whole world, to be in back in relationship with God. Anybody been redeemed? I said, anybody been redeemed? Is anybody a witness? Are you a witness in your home that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, back in right relationship with God? Come on, if you've been redeemed, put your hands together and say, thank God, I've been redeemed. I've been on that dead-end street. He made a way out of no way. I thought it was all over for me. I was giving up on that dead-end street, and then God came and picked me up and turned me around and took me to the right place in him. Somebody ought to put his hand together and say, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Not just me, but for the whole world. And this was apostle. This is what Apostle John is teaching, that Jesus didn't die exclusively for the Jewish people or a select group of people on earth, but for all humanity, not only for our individual sins, but also for the sins of every nation. Every tongue, every tribe who receive and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This is what I love about Chapel of Change. We going after everybody. Don't matter the color of your skin. Don't matter how low you go. No matter how high you've been, we all need Jesus. And that's our mission. That's the mission of the body of Christ. Not just Chapel of Change, but it's the mission of the body of Christ. We are called to reach nations, to tell them we have been redeemed. And you can be redeemed right in your home, right in this moment. Right now, you have a choice. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, this is a time for you to reflect on what God is saying to you right now. What is God saying to you right now through this word? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Could we just pause for a moment and be quiet for a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak into your ear? Let the Holy Spirit speak into your mind. Most of all, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Even now, the Holy Spirit, with a whisper, with a whisper, Jesus is calling your name. I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, today is your day to call on the name of the Lord. That's why we're here. It's for the lost, for the hurting. Would you just simply say with your heart, Jesus, I receive you as Lord. Maybe you're a Christian. Just say it to help someone. Maybe somebody's coming to your mind that you hope, that you're praying for, that they would receive Jesus. Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior. Really from your heart. If you really mean this, just say, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. You can say, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. Say it. And that God raised him from the dead. God, I really believe it. You're there. I really do believe it. I haven't been walking with you. I'm not in right relationship. But God, deep in my heart, I believe I receive you as Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And that you raised him. God, you raised him from the dead. Lord, I receive your salvation right now. I receive it right now in your homes, wherever you're watching, even in this place. I receive your salvation. This is the most important decision that you will ever make in life. You just made a decision. You just made a decision to live your life for Christ. And I want to say, welcome to the family of God. Come on. I believe somebody accepted the Lord today. Come on. Say welcome, welcome, welcome to the family of God. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord, for the message has been preached. I turn it over to our pastor, Pastor Brian. Come on, put your hands together.